Good morning. May God bless each one for being here. I've been blessed by the service so far, and we continue to seek God and see what He has for us. I thought that the Sunday school lesson went very well with what the special day is today. So any other children want to tell me what is special about today? You know, Carter? What is it? You don't know what's special about today? Huh? Yeah, exactly. It's Mother's Day. That's right. That is the title for the message. The title for the message is Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. I believe we have around 17 mothers here this morning. And now, if you know me, I don't preach to a certain group of people only. I believe that the Word of God is quick and alive and is powerful. And I don't want anybody to use it as an excuse, oh, the message this morning was for mothers. So we're going to divide the message in two parts. I will be talking specifically to the mothers, even though the points that I have here will apply to the fathers and to the young people as well. And then the second part of the message, everybody's going to catch it, okay? Or how do we relate or respond to the mothers? That's the second part of the message. So please apply the message wherever you need it this morning. I'll start with this thought about thinking about mothers. I believe in a man's heart, probably one of the softest, tenderest part of a man's heart is mother. There's a place there for mother in a man's heart. There is not a coincidence that I will guess that is worldwide that the greatest insult to a man is to insult his mother. Even Saul in the Bible used that term against Jonathan whenever he was mad at Jonathan. So it's not a coincidence, because there's a soft spot in a man's heart for mother. I remember seeing a scene at the Atlanta airport. We were there to pick somebody up, and there was this Hispanic man. And I'm just going to elaborate on the story simply because it's a very typical story. I didn't ask him, I didn't even talk to him, but I'm assuming this, okay? But it's a very typical thing. A young man from Central America, or he looked like he was from Central America or Mexico or South America, wherever. They will get up here to the States illegally and work here. And over the years, 10, 15, 20, 25 years, 30 years, they haven't been home for all that those years. They haven't seen mother or the family. And they get the old mother to go to the U.S. Embassy and request a visa to come up here to see her children. You know, maybe her boy, her son, or whatever. So they will come up here. It's old people. You see a lot of them in the airplanes coming from Central America and going back. And there she was, and probably it was time to go home. And there was this Hispanic. He looked a little bit rough. He looked pretty strong. He looked one of those man that, you know, you look at him and you get the message, don't mess with me, you know. I won't mess with you if you don't mess with me. But there he was, giving his mother a hug and crying like a baby. Why? Because there's a soft spot in his heart. I keep messing up on my spot there. But that's my point. It's a tenderness in our heart as men for mother. And that was a demonstration. He probably thought it might be the last time he will see her. I don't know, but more than likely he thought about that. But there, it kind of grabbed my attention to think about this Hispanic man. Probably don't fear much anything, but there he was weeping for his mother. So I have 4 points for the mothers. Like I said, we're going to start with the mothers. The first point I would like to make, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be a lot in Timothy and in Proverbs this morning. And I will read a few of the verses for you. That way you don't have to turn to them, to all of them. But it's a good practice to turn to them. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to give you the first point here. Verse 5. I will read verse 4 as well. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwell first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And he says, wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The first point I would like to give you to mothers. And we already touched through a lot of these principles through this service this morning, through the Sunday school hour, or how we're going to pass the faith to the one generation to the next. And today, this morning, we're specifically talking about mothers. The first point I would like to make is be real. And we already, like I said, we already touched into that. The unfeigned faith. What is unfeigned faith? Unfeigned simply means not feigned. Or not counterfeit, or not hypocritical. It means real. It means sincere. It means genuine. It's the original. It's not a counterfeit. Not hypocritical. And we think about Lois. Lois was the grandmother. And then we have the mother Eunice. And if you think about these ladies, and actually tells us that Eunice was a Jewish lady, and then Timothy's father was a Greek. These people had faith. And at some point, they placed their faith in Jesus Christ. They believed God and they believed the promises of the Old Testament. And somewhere, they put their faith in the Lord Jesus through all this. But they had a real faith, a faith that motivated them to live a righteous life. A faith that was evident. A faith that was contagious. A faith, they got excited about the Word of God. They will be studying the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and these ladies were excited. And guess what little Timothy did? Little Timothy was observing this. And somehow or another, he got a hold of that faith. And Paul commended him for this, that he had an unfeigned faith. He was persuaded that he was in Timothy as well. It was real. It was evident. Mothers, don't ever underestimate your influence that you have on your children. Don't ever underestimate that. I know that a lot of mothers struggle with a sense of worthiness. They feel like they're not doing anything for the Lord. The famous preacher Billy Graham said these words, "Only God Himself fully appreciates the influence of a Christian mother in the molding character in her children." In the molding of character in her children. Only God knows the influence. Like Brother Tim already mentioned, while we were going through daily lives, little boy, little son, little daughter was growing, and they were watching the faith that you had, specifically for mothers. Now, I'm not excusing the fathers, okay? But this morning, we are emphasizing on the mothers. Hopefully, next month, somebody can have a message for the fathers, and let us have it then. But this morning we're focusing on mothers, right? Be real. That's the first point. Second point I would like to make, turn with me to Proverbs 1, verse 8. Probably some of you could quote it by memory. Proverbs 1, verse 8. It starts, "My son." Anybody wants to finish it?
You can talk to me about offering to take not the law of my mother.
Thank you. And forsake not the law of thy mother. Now this proverb is specifically for my second part of the message, where we're going to be talking about our response to our mother. How do we need to respond? That is specifically for son. But it's something interesting I want to point out to the mothers this morning out of this verse. And that is, you need to have a law. It says, and forsake not the law of thy mother. My question to you mothers is, do your children know what is your law? You need to have a law. You need to be specific with what you are requiring Junior to do or not to do. Proverbs 6:20 says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, I hope that God can give you wisdom to know what laws to make and what laws not to make. And I would just give you a word of encouragement or a cautious, however you want to take it. Be careful of not making a bunch of laws that you're not going to enforce. You know, you get the fork on the right hand and the spoon on the left hand. And don't be licking that knife, or don't be doing this, or don't cross your leg whenever we sit at the table, or don't you drop that fork. And the list is endless of laws that we can make. And what happens if Junior does it? Nothing. That's my concern. It's better to me, okay, this is my opinion. It would be better if you have a fewer laws and you enforce them. They're having a bunch of little laws that, okay, well, you messed up. That's okay. Okay, whatever. But don't you do it again. And don't be putting your thing here. Don't, on and on and on. But my thing is, what is your law? Make it clear to the children what you expect of them. Make it just plain and back it up. Back it up. I get concerned about that relational teaching that we have. Maybe in school this is not for the, it's not for a teacher's training thing, but we do have fewer spankings in schools than we had a couple years ago. I wonder why. Now, I don't know how it is at your home. Maybe it's the same way at your home. But my concern is that we need to have a law. If the son needs to keep the law, he needs to know what the law is. And that is my point. And I know this can be a lot broader than just the do's and don'ts. This can mean more of the convictions of mother. Do your children know what is the law of mother? And I can't even find this in here, but I was going to tell you a story. Okay, that's for my second part. I'm getting ahead of myself here. So we'll leave it there. Have convictions. Share them. And have a law of a mother. Now, I know mothers have a great heart, and that is a blessing from God. But have the love to teach Junior that they have a law to obey. Number three, the first one was be real. The second, have a law. Number three is found in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. Now, this is specifically talking about young widows. In the English translation, it says, I will therefore that the younger women... In the Spanish translation, it says that the younger widows. So we're talking about widows here. If you read the passage in this context, it says, I therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, and this is my point, guide the house. Give not occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Guide the house. That's my third point for mothers. It's your responsibility to guide the house. Now you're saying, wait a minute, I thought the man is the head of the house. That is correct. The man has authority But what if the man is mostly gone during the day? In our culture, we have to go to work. And I think as I have been through history, if you think about in the Bible times, people went to work, and most the men went to work, and the women took care of the children. So they're supposed to guide the house, be in charge of the house. And in this point, I would like to just show my appreciation to our beliefs that the ladies, the mothers, stay at home. I just so grateful for that. I don't know what we will do if we start facing things like Sister Joyce is trying to go and get a job at the teller at the bank. Or Sister Heidi wants to go and work with the accounting office there in town. What will we do? But we don't face that, thank God. Why? Because we are taught the Bible, and it says the place, the role of women is at the house. Now, that doesn't mean they're less, okay? The Bible is clear that it's actually a special place for mothers to be at home. I'm going to read you some quotes here. This Alistair Begg, I don't know who he is, but it's supposed to be some kind of preacher. And he said this, ladies, motherhood is a full time. Do not kid yourself that you can be a dental receptionist and a mother, that you can be a typist and a mom, that you can be a vice president and a mom. One of the two things will win. Now look at your Bible and ask what you have to do. John MacArthur says this, to be a mother is by no means second class. Men may have the authority in the home, but the women have the influence. The mother, more than the father, is the one who molds and shapes those little lives from day one. So I just want to throw my appreciation for what you mothers do. And I know you don't get paid for it. I was looking at some of those things, and he says if a mother would get paid for everything that she does, she should get around $78,000 a year. And you do it for nothing. I mean, you're 24/7 on call any time of the year. For years, you commit to motherhood. That is a noble calling. Do not take it for granted. And I'm here to say thank you for what you do and the sacrifice that you do for our children. We will not be where we are spiritually and in church if this would not be obeyed and practiced. Number four, I'm just going to read these verses to you and I'll give you the point. Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies or jewels or precious metals, whatever you want to put there. Proverbs 12:4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh a shame is a rottenness in the bones, in his bones. My point I want to make is have virtue. Have virtue. Be real, have a law, guide the house, and the last one for you is have virtue. What is virtue? I think a lot of times I have used it a lot of times, just took it for granted. Virtue is just virtue, right? Define virtue, it's just virtue. It says she has the virtue of being patient. She has the virtue of singing. She has the virtue of being a good cook. She has virtue. She has virtue. She has virtue. And on. The dictionary says it's moral excellence, integrity of character. There is the you know, we can put be real thing. Purity of soul. Performance of duty, the quality of doing what is right and avoiding what is wrong. You get that? The quality of doing what is right and avoiding what is wrong. Isn't that amazing? No wonder a virtuous woman that knows to do right and does it, and avoids to do evil and stays away from doing wrong is a crown to her husband. Why? Because we can trust on her. I was talking to my wife about this. How would it be if you would go away or if I go away for a couple of days and I can't trust what you're going to be doing? That's ridiculous. That would be a chaotic situation. Or in the same token, wondering what I would be doing. But if we think about virtue being the quality of doing right, that right thing, not the wrong thing. Is praying a good thing? Sure it is. Is singing a good thing? Absolutely it is. Is it the right thing? I'm sorry. Is it the right thing to do? Is it the right thing to share and to give? It is the right thing. I don't know how many of you know John D. Martin. I never met the man. I have heard him some recordings, messages that he has preached. He was the one that compiled a purple songbook. I can't even remember the title of, but you know what I'm talking about. Some people call them the Purple Martins, right? He compiled over 1,000 hymns. He didn't write them. He put them together, okay? He compiled this hymn. And the man is an excellent teacher. I don't know if you have heard him or not, but the man is an extraordinary teacher. And if you hear him about teaching about music, the man leaves me in the dust, okay? Which it doesn't take much in music. But he knows music like incredibly. You know what he said in one of his messages about music? He remembered his mother singing hymns. I forget which book it was, either the church hymnal, one of the books. And he said that his mother knew, I think he said all of them, but I'm going to say almost, just in case, almost all those hymns by memory. And sang around the house all the time. Now you scratch your head and say, no wonder John D. Martin put a songbook together. That's natural. Why? Because his mother, it was contagious. Can you imagine a mother washing dishes and sing a hymn after hymn by memory? Wow. That would be incredible. So have virtue. I'm not saying if you can't sing, that's okay, but do something of virtue. Do the right thing. This Henry Ward Beecher said this, what a mother sings to the cradle goes all the way down to the coffin. What a mother sings to the cradle goes all the way down to the coffin. D.L. Moody said this, the impression that a praying mother leaves upon her children is lifelong. Perhaps when you're dead and gone, your prayers will be answered. Isn't that so neat to see mother praying or reading the word? That is such a blessing. Now, time to wake up. What is our responsibility to our mothers? Mothers do so much for us. What do we need to do? And there's basically two things the Bible teaches, and I'm going to give you five practical ways that we can apply these two things. First thing that the Bible says is obey. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, that for this is right. Obey your parents. Proverbs 30:17 says like this, the eye that mocketh his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it. The eyes. You want to lose your eyes? Disobey your mother, and your eyes will be plucked out. That's what the Bible says. Proverbs 20:20 says, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. You disobey your mother. I've seen this over and over. Young people, they throw their teachings away from their mother and father, and they are without lights. It's like a car going down the road without lights in a pitch dark night. And guess what? They will wreck. Okay? They will wreck. And that's what this passage is talking about. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21. And God, I want you to notice, I don't know how you take the Old Testament. Sometimes it's a there's discussions of how to take the Old Testament and how I take it. We see the heart of God in these issues. Okay? You read Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers, whatever. We're not under the civil law of God anymore. But we can see the heart of God in issues. And God did not spare anything for children that were rebellious. In Deuteronomy 21, verse 18 through 21, if a man have a stubborn, rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gates of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this son, this our son, is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall, what? Stone him with stones that he learn that he die. So shall thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. The Bible is clear to obey our parents. Obey. Don't be rebellious. You need to obey. Now, how long should we obey, Mom? I hope the mothers, you have the wisdom to learn where the rules or where your law is extended to. I hope that there's no mother here that is trying to control an adult child. I hope that makes sense. But I have seen that whenever mother is trying to control the daughter or son after they get married, it can be chaos. So I hope that you can see through all that. I don't have time to explain my thoughts on that. The next one is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. If you notice the Ten Commandments that God gave, the first four had to do with God. How do we deal with God? And the next six of them is how we deal with our relationships with other people. And the first relationship is with father and mother. How do we deal with father and mother? And is honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It says that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. I don't think there's any other of the Ten Commandments that has a promise like this. Think about that. What is to honor? Is to prize, to value, to revere. Do you know? Now, this will probably be more for the young people. Young people, whenever you're by yourself, you're doing a purchase. Maybe the girls, they go shopping for material or for sweaters or I don't know what all you go shopping for. Huh? And you think about, what does mom would like me to do? I mean, first of all, you should be asking what God wants you to do. But sometimes the law of mother comes into play. And you know mother is not going to approve what you're going to buy. And what will you do? And mother might say, well, it's up to you. I'm not going to tell you can't wear it. It's up to you. What do you do? Honor it. That's simple. Okay, honor your father and your mother. That's where honor comes in place. You price their opinion. Don't just throw it out the window. Your lamp is going to go out. And then one day you're going to be running through life with not knowing what is good and right and wrong. Honor it. Now, I got five practical areas. How do we honor or obey our parents? First of all, I want to give an advice. Maybe this for young people or older people. I don't know how we're going to do this because we all are in different stages of life. I don't even have a mother anymore. But the law of mother is still living somehow. The first one, respect her. Respect her. I don't have any time for my children disrespecting their mother. Okay? I know I shouldn't smack them. That probably is wrong. But I prefer doing that than letting them disrespect mother. Now, I'm not trying to justify my bad things. But respect her. Your mom and dad were the first authorities that you had in life. How do you talk to her? Young people. How do you talk to them? What are your thoughts when she says something that is not in agreement with you? Do you talk back to her? Please, respect mother. Number two. Now, this one, you can take it wrong if you're not careful, but I put, be proud of her. Be proud of her, and this is for grown youth and adults. I'm not talking about children. You need to go around bragging that your mother is better than your mother. That's not being proud. Okay, that is being proud, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about there's a verse in Proverbs, and the time is running out, so I'm just going to read it to you. Proverbs 23:22. Says like this, hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. As young people, you know the process, right? Whenever we were little, we thought mom and dad were the greatest thing. They were the best, whatever. The strongest, the tallest, the most capable people. Whenever we start growing up, when we start seeing their faults, something changes. And we think we are the best. Mama and dad don't know. And then hopefully whenever you mature, then you start seeing that, yeah. But my point is, don't ever be embarrassed of your mother. That is being proud of her. I have seen young people that don't want to talk about mother. They don't want to talk about father. Mother, oh, just change the subject. Why? Well, they're embarrassed. Is this being proud of her? Listen to what George Washington said. You remember who George Washington was? I never met him. But it was our first president, right? My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. That man was proud of his mother. Abraham Lincoln said this, all that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. See, he even thought of his mother being an angel from God. Respect her, be proud of her. Number three, show her that you love her. Show love to her, appreciation. Now, I know, I understand the differences between culture. I know you're not Hispanics. And there's differences between the Hispanic culture and the American German background culture. And I also understand that there have been some articles in our Mennonite papers talking about dangers of embracing. But I will tell you what I did when I was a young man, when I realized I shouldn't be embarrassed of my mom. I should love her. There was a book that helped me tremendously in my younger years. It is called Be Strong, Young Man, by a Burkholder. I forget his first name, but it was translated into Spanish. And he talks about all these things. And I remember what I did. I'll go home sometimes and I just squeeze mama's cheeks. And we're just squeeze her cheeks or her arms. Her arms were about that big around. I just squish him. And I will kiss mom and I will hug her. There's nothing wrong with hugging your mother. I hope you know that. I know the difference of culture, okay? If you don't practice that, I'm not going to condemn you. But please don't condemn me if I hug my mother. Those hands were the same ones that would doctor me when I was sick or injured. That mother was the one that carried a scar when they had to fish me out. Show you love her. There's multiple ways of showing your mother your appreciation for her. There's multiple ways. One day, you will not have the opportunity. Number four, forgive her mistakes. Forgive her mistakes. As young people, like I told you, we learned that mother and father are not perfect. Brother Tim already mentioned there's no perfect. I forget how he said it, but what he meant was, or what I took from it, Tim, was that there's no perfect home. There's no perfect parents. I'm the first to admit, my mother, I love my mother dearly. But I can tell you a lot of negative things that she had. But I'm going to choose not to tell you that. What do you do? Hear me. What do you do with your parents' failures? Young people, what you do with that, with their failures, can make you bitter. Can make you bitter. Or you can choose to forgive them and learn from them and try not to make those same mistakes, even though you probably will do them. The same thing or worse, at least it has been in my case. But this is so important for us to learn this, to forgive. To forgive mom. Mom was not a super mom after all. Even though some of you probably can't remember anything negative of mother. And that's fine. But we need to forgive their mistakes. And number five, listen to her advice. We're talking about older people now. The young people, there's no option. You need to obey the law of mother. Okay? I hope mother gets a big stick if you don't obey. But I'm talking about when we get older, young people. I'm thinking about young people. Do we need to learn to listen to her advice? I remember Brother Santos Aguilar. He's a dear brother in El Salvador. I was a young person. We asked him to have a topic about how to choose a girlfriend, I guess. And he told us a story. Of course, his dad died when he was a youngster, when Santos was a youngster. So they only lived with their mother. And Santos told us the story of his process of how he got a girlfriend, right? And he said he prayed about it. He prayed, he thought about it, and he prayed about it. And whenever he made up his mind, he said, "Who do you think I went and talked to? And we thought, okay, maybe the preacher, maybe to her, maybe to her parents. He said, "I went to tell mom what she thought." And he gave us this advice as a young person. I will never forget this. I hope young people, you can get a hold of this advice. He said, never go against their advice in choosing a companion. He even said, even if they're not godly people, you need to listen. Now, I know there's exceptions to maybe some of those could be an exception. But the normal is that you need to listen to them. Take advice from them. This Thomas Fuller said, listen carefully, young man, for a wife, take the daughter of a good mother. Take the daughter of a good mother, because that's what she's going to be. In a couple years, she's going to be the same as her mother. May God bless each one as we celebrate mothers today. I cannot thank you enough, mothers. Okay, I'm talking about mothers, about all the sacrifice that you do for the children. It's incredible. And this morning, I would like to honor the mothers. I brought some flowers along.